playing bass, Jamon G, AM 1210, FM 100.7, and on the web at airventure.org/radio. And we're doing AirVenture In Flight On The Fly is a segment from 1 to 2:30, different venue every day. And once again today, we are out live at the Seaplane Base. And I'm with Dave Quam. Am I saying that right, Dave?
Yep. It's a Scandinavian name out of Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm taking pills for that, though,
okay,
living in Minnesota.
Good.
It's not doing any good.
The bugs are as big as airplanes up there.
Well, not yet. What a perfect day for you to be out here with this temperature. You know, nice and cool, nice breeze.
It's perfect. It's perfect. And it's good for the seaplanes, too, right? You don't like strong winds like we had yesterday out here.
No, but, you know, let me jump to that story quickly before we get into the story. You have a question for me, Penny? Oh, okay. You'll note that the airplanes are tied up by the nose around the propeller. People say, isn't that dangerous because, you know, you're going to damage the engine. I said, well, what do you think pulls the airplane through the sky? It's called a propeller. When I first got called by Bill Brennan, as the founder and the president of the Seaplane Pilots Association, he said, we'd like to get some seaplane activity out here at the base, but could you stop by when you come back to Minnesota and you go home? And I did that. It was a jungle out here. And there was a little pond, and I said, you know, we need a way for those of us, that includes me, to come to the EIA convention by a straight float. And this is some places around the lake I don't know about. I haven't searched it out. This is a protected harbor. Seems to me it would be perfect. And he said, yes, would the SPA, Seaplane Pilots Association, help and support this? I said, I'll do whatever I can do to publicize it in our newsletter, magazine, etc. And that's how I got exposed to Bill and this facility. Now, there were a few volunteers at the time. The most important to me was it was an access to the convention. And I didn't realize at the time, probably more important than that. And as you look around today, it allows those people here at the convention who have never seen a seaplane or seen a seaplane operation a chance as part of the air show to come down by bus to see what's going on and look at the airplane. That opportunity was not there. It started out as an access point for the state float pilot. So it's worked out to be a win-win situation for the EA pilots coming to the convention and the pilots coming by straight float plane. I'm going to jump back. Yesterday's storm, probably 1975, maybe. I'm losing track of my date, 76. I flew a 172 from New York back to Minnesota. I stopped at a place called Surfside Seaplane Base north of Minneapolis. And there were probably a dozen float planes anchored out like you have here in the bay. And I pulled up to the dock to get some fuel, and I looked. I don't remember the exact count, but probably close to 7-8 airplanes ripped up on the ground. And there was two airplanes that they had the wings chained to the ground, and the wings were there, but the fuselage was gone. So when I tied the airplane up, I said, what happened here? Is there a storm come through here? And it had ripped up all these airplanes. So I made the assumption that the float planes parked here just got here that morning. I said, where are all these guys? I don't know. They put them here last week. I said, wait a minute. You're telling me these float planes were here in the same storm, tied up here, none of them got damaged, and all these land planes got ripped up? He said, yes. How can it be? He said, the way I have it tied up. You got to show this to me. He took me out in a boat. He said, by the way, during the storm, the float planes were flying on the tether.
Above the water.
Above the water. They go up and they come down. Go up and come down. About a foot and a half.
Excuse me.
The key factor was a bridle around the propeller, and then it went to a bungee cord, and then to a mooring, short distance. So when the wind blew the airplane and tried to lift it, it pulled the nose down onto the biggest part of the float, and the bungee cord on there took the shock out, so it was nice and smooth. But you had to have the water runners up so the plane could pivot. If you left the water runner down, then you had a good chance of the wind getting under a wing and flipping it. all the airplanes, big or small, turned at the same rate at the same time, and they were all flying. And they always faced into the wind, into the gust. The one that's tied down couldn't handle the brute force and ripped the wings off the airplane. Well, after I saw this bridle, and if I hadn't seen this, I probably wouldn't have completely trusted the bridle. After I saw this, I got one from him, and on the way back to New York, I stopped and got a hold of Bill, told him the story. I said, here's what they've done. Here's the bridle that they used. But they had a bungee cord to take the shock out. Well, Al Zabel and Bill made up a bunch of them. And that's how they started tying these airplanes, based on that scenario that I saw at the surf site. And it's worked brilliantly. Now, I had no concerns about the float planes sitting here if a storm hit. I have more concern about those sitting on the beach and tied to a tree. These big planes out here will just weather vane and just slide the tether and sit right down. I carried a bridle. I had a 172. I was up in Lake Champlain in New York visiting with my boss. I worked in the broadcast business. I used to edit the Bill Cosby show. I couldn't get to the beach because the water was rough and there were small stones. I would have pounded my float. I had an anchor. I put it out about 50 feet, pulled on the rope really hard. It was in there. I tied it to my propeller, my little bridle, and I would just watch the airplane bob out there. And I watched the boats get smashed against the dock, and the airplane just bobbed. I watched it for an hour because I was very concerned about it coming loose. I went to bed. Next morning, the lake was like a mill pond. So I only about 3 feet deep. I walked out and on the pontoon, started pulling the rope in, or actually pulling the airplane towards the rope. And the water was so clear, I looked down. I only had one point out of the two on the Danford anchor. It was stuck in the ground. One little point. If I had known that, I'd have been underwater with a hammer putting it in. I hadn't gotten that lesson. So I know that the bridle system works well, and I'm really not concerned about a storm. Yesterday's storm, I said, well, I'll shoot movies, because I'm making a DVD on the seaplane base.
Oh, you are now?
Yeah, I've shot about 4 hours of film, and I will go edit. And it'll probably take me a little while to edit this thing, but no one's told the story of the seaplane base. For those who can't come here. So I put the DVD out, we'll just give it out. I made a couple of DVDs, and we sell them for $2 just to cover the cost of the DVD. We want the information out there, not a money-making thing.
Well, and you know, they sell a lot of DVDs at the warehouse and at the EA stores. I would think that that would be something they would be interested in selling.
Well, as a volunteer last year, EAA sent the volunteers a 25-minute video to Harrison Ford narrated about the fly-in. Being in the broadcast business, I watch the composition of the cameras, the use of telephoto lens, the camera moves, the editing, the timing of the editing, listen to the announcing. Absolutely superb. So I took that and I gave it to the university who has a class on production. I said, look at this EIA video. Having been in the broadcast business, this is a superb job. I used to do color correction on a TV show called Nature for PBS. So I was attuned to the color of the program. I was attuned to how the edits fit in, the dissolve versus cut versus special effects, the timing of the music, composition. And I thought it was an excellent example. So I don't know who they got to do this at EAA, but they're doing a splendid job. Now, will I do that good a job on the story of here? Probably not. I just want to get it out. So is it worthy selling? Well, I'll submit it to EAA, and they can do what they want with it. But I want the story. For example, that EAA video that I was given as a volunteer, I sent that to Beijing, to some people I know in Beijing, and they loved it. I said, you make all the copies you want, and let everybody know about Oshkosh. So I don't know how many they made, but I know they're floating around Beijing.
There's a lot of things floating around Beijing.
Well, now, the seaplane base, as far as the Seaplane Association is concerned, this is such a win-win for everybody, for the pilot, the visitor, for the vendors, and it's a piece of history that has developed and turned out to be a great idea for everybody interested in aviation and the pilot.
Dave, we're going to go to a break here as we... It's 45 of the hour, but And when we come back, we're going to talk to some...
Whip Air.
Whip Air folks.
A float manufacturer.
About some floats. And if you'd hang in there with us, we'll talk to you a little bit more when we come back from the break. All right, Jay Monchi, out at the seaplane base, Air Venture in flight, on the fly. We'll be back on EA Radio in just a few minutes.